Good morning and welcome to Hope United Methodist Church from wherever you are joining us at today. A few announcements before we get started this morning. First, please note that we are having a charge conference on October the 18th at noon. That's a Sunday. That'll be following worship on that Sunday. It's via Zoom. We need to approve the sale of one of the houses that we own. We're just trying to get rid of a bunch of stuff, you know? So we do have to have a meeting, though. The DS will be a part of it. Very exciting. It's on Zoom. If you have any questions, let me know. You should have gotten the written email last week. Also, please note that we are doing our Bible study and our evening meals every week. Tuesdays for Bible study, meals on Wednesdays. And also, we've now started our online Sunday school. It's on our website, and it goes up every Sunday. There's a new video around about 9 o'clock on Sunday, so look for that in the morning as well. Now let us take a deep breath and prepare our hearts, our minds, and our souls for worship as we listen to our prelude.
We don't always know what time it is, but according to Jesus, it is time to watch. We're not always sure what we should wear, but according to the Spirit, we should wear garments of light. We're not always sure what we should do, but according to God, we should always seek good for those around us. Please join us now for our opening hymns.
Such a
Join me in the unison prayer. God of wrath and thunder, who hates those things which destroy his creation and harms his creatures, who shows us through his prophets the way of peace with each other, and who in Jesus Christ, the cornerstone, gave us the new foundation of love, save us from the self-righteousness that leads us to rely on our own resources and from making ourselves immune to the challenge of those who are different. Give us the courage to give away those things which make us count so that only Christ will count us. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord. Amen. Let us continue our time of prayer with musical reflection and silence. Lord, as we gather this week, we lift much up to you. We lift up our world and our country. We lift up those who are struggling with addiction and those who are struggling with sickness. We lift up discord, divisiveness, and we lift up ourselves in the midst of all of that. We ask that you would be with and within us as we encounter a world that seems so counter to your will. And we ask that you would hold us on our journey, that we would be closer to you with each step every day, and therefore closer to walking in the footsteps of Christ. As we gather this morning, we pray for a great many people, but especially we lift up Lee Flagg and all those within our church family who struggle with illnesses of varying kinds and severities. And as we walk in this confusing, chaotic thing that is called life, we remember that you walked with us and that you sometimes picked us up and sometimes you carried us and then sometimes you even carried all of us. And as we remember the sacrifice and the victory that you made and brought, we remember the words that you taught us as we pray, and so now we pray those words and say, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power and glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, boys and girls. It's good to see you again this week. Before I talk about the scripture that Pastor Andrew is going to talk about, I want to ask you a question. Do you think that I can get 25 grapes and hold them in one hand? Let's see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Whoa! Didn't make it. Let's try it one more time. Okay. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9. Didn't do it. It's just too many for my hand. Let me try something else. Do you think I could hold 25 raisins in one hand? Now, I've got 25 raisins counted out in a bag. And you know what? That's not a problem at all. That's very easy to do. Now, you may want to know why I'm talking about raisins and grapes today, but you may already know that raisins actually are dried up grapes. So when I couldn't hold the grapes, I switched over to the raisins, which isn't quite like holding grapes, but it's dried up grapes. Or as I like to think of it, raisins are grapes that got a second chance. And we're going to talk about second chances today. And we're going to talk about a vineyard where grapes are grown. In our story today, there's a landowner, and he buys a vineyard, and he builds a fence around it. It's a big vineyard, lots of grapes growing. Builds a tower, a watchtower in the middle, puts in a press to press the grapes, and then he brings in some farmers to rent the land from him and to farm the grapes. Then he goes on a big trip. Well, while he's gone, they do what they need to do to keep the grapes going. When he comes back, he sends three of his servants to them to get his profit from the grapes that have been grown and sold. Well, when the three servants went to get the profit, to get the money, the farmers didn't treat them very well. They said they wouldn't give it to them, they stoned them, beat them up, and they even killed one of them. Well, the landowner wasn't happy with that, and he thought, I'm going to send more people the next time to collect my money, my profit. So he sent more servants, and those farmers did the same thing to them also. So now the landowner says, I think what I need to do is send my son. Because if I send my son, they'll trust him, they'll believe him, and they'll give him my profit, my part of the money. So he sent his son, and they killed the son. Now that's a parable. That's not a true story. Jesus tells us parables to make other points. And the point he wants to make in this is that he had given the people who were living there many chances to do what was right. And when Jesus was talking to the high priests, he was saying to them, basically, you've got many chances to follow God, many chances to believe me, and you're not taking advantage of that. So I go back now to the grapes and the raisins. Remember, we talked about a raisin being a grape that got a second chance. Well, that's what God is. God gives us second chances. We may mess up one time. He may give us a second, a third, a fourth chance. But we keep trying. And because he loves us so much, he helps us be successful. He wants us to be successful. He wants us to do the right thing. So as you go through this week, I just want you to remember that you also are a raisin. You're a grape with a second chance. So when you do something wrong, you can have another chance. God will forgive you. And you have all sorts of people to help you do the right thing. Let's say a little prayer. Gracious God, thank you so much for loving us and taking care of us and being a God of second chances. Amen. Have a good week, boys and girls.
Lesson one is from the book of Philippians, chapter 3, verses 4 through 14. If anyone else has reason to put their confidence in physical advantages, I have even more. I was circumcised on the eighth day. I am from the people of Israel and the tribe of Benjamin. I am a Hebrew of the Hebrews. With respect to observing the law, I'm a Pharisee. With respect to devotion to the faith, I harassed the church. With respect to righteousness under the law, I'm blameless. These things were my assets, but I wrote them off as a loss for the sake of Christ. But even beyond that, I consider everything a loss in comparison with the superior value of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. I have lost everything for him, but what I lost I think of as sewer trash, so that I might gain Christ and be found in him. In Christ, I have a righteousness that is not my own and that does not come from the law, but rather from the faithfulness of Christ. It is the righteousness of God that is based on faith. The righteousness that I have comes from knowing Christ, the power of the resurrection, of his resurrection, and the participation in his sufferings. It includes being conformed to his death, so that I may perhaps reach the goal of the resurrection of the dead. It's not that I have already reached this goal or have already been perfected, but I pursue it so that I may grab hold of it, because Christ grabbed hold of me for just this purpose. Brothers and sisters, I myself don't think I've reached it, but I do this one thing. I forget about the things behind me and reach out for the things ahead of me. The goal I pursue is the prize of God's upward call in Christ Jesus.
Our second lesson this morning is taken from the Gospel according to Matthew, the 21st chapter, verses 33 through 46. If you are at home or with us in the parking lot, please stand as you are able for the reading of the Gospel. Listen to another parable. There was a landowner who planted a vineyard. He put a fence around it, dug a wine press in it, and built a tower. Then he rented it to tenant farmers and took a trip. When it was time for harvest, he sent his servants to the tenant farmers to collect his fruit. But the tenant farmers grabbed his servants. They beat some of them, and some of them they killed. Some of them they stoned to death. Again, he sent other servants, more than the first group, and they treated them in the same way. Finally, he sent his son to them. They will respect my son, he said. But when the tenant farmers saw the son, they said to each other, this is the heir. Come on, let's kill him, and we'll have his inheritance. They grabbed him, threw him out of the vineyard, and killed him. When the owner of the vineyard comes, what will he do to these tenant farmers? They said, he will totally destroy those wicked farmers and rent the vineyard to other tenant farmers who will give him the fruit when it's ready. Jesus said to them, haven't you ever read in the scriptures, the stone that the builders rejected has become the cornerstone? The Lord has done this, and it's amazing in our eyes. Therefore, I tell you that God's kingdom will be taken away from you and will be given to a people who produce its fruit. Whoever falls on the stone will be crushed, and the stone will crush the person it falls on. Now when the chief priests and the Pharisees heard the parable, they knew Jesus was talking about them. They were trying to arrest him, but they feared the crowds who thought he was a prophet. This is the word of God for all people. Thanks be to God. In junior church right now, we've been working on Genesis 1:26 about being made in the image of God, and how this is something that doesn't apply only to some of us. It's applied to all of us, even those people that we don't like or who we disagree with. And the beginning of Genesis contains a lot for us about how we understand the world in which we live, including the importance of knowing what it means to be stewards, not owners. When I was in elementary school, we had a stuffed animal that belonged to the whole class, and each of us would get a chance to take it home for the weekend and document our time together. But part of that was also the importance of also ensuring we took care of and didn't lose it. Now, I don't remember this animal's name. I don't remember what kind of animal it was. And I don't even remember exactly what grade it was in grade school. But I do remember being worried that I would lose or damage it during the weekend because I knew it wasn't mine. It belonged to the collective, and I was simply a caretaker of it. This is the message Jesus is conveying to the religious leaders, but also to all of those who may want to call themselves disciples. It's not ours. The work we do, the buildings we utilize, the altars we preside over, the pulpits we preach from, the mission to create disciples, none of it belongs to us. We are simply one of many caretakers of these things. Perhaps this is something we fail to remember periodically, and perhaps it's something we fail to teach once we hit a certain age. Now, I know when I was young, sharing is caring was drilled into me constantly. But it seems that the older we get, the less we engage in this mentality. We decide that things are mine. It's a word my daughter's becoming familiar with. Even if we know that they're not. Something else my daughter's becoming familiar with. Finders keepers seems to be the law of the land for us, except that this argument doesn't hold up when we realize and know deep down that we're just stewards of things. Can you imagine being the kind of person who would decide to rough someone up because you didn't like what they had to say? Yet we're told that this is what happens within the parable. The tenants beat up the first ones who come to collect the master's duly owned share. Then they kill another. And finally, they stone another to death. And then they do this again to the next group. And you may be thinking, is stoning different than killing? Yes? No? The answer is yes, no. In the context we're given, it's probable that a stoning to death takes longer than killing. Since they said they killed one and stoned another to death, they probably just made it quick for the one guy and then made it take a long time with the rocks, showing for us how far the servants have fallen, right? They've gone from physical abuse to straight murder and now to torture as well. Definitely happy stuff, what we want to hear about on Sundays. But when the son of the owner comes, one who carries great authority, the tenants decide that if they kill the son, they'll get to assume his inheritance. But why would this happen? Nothing like this would happen. And even the religious leaders get that. When Jesus asks them what would happen, they're like, this guy's going to come wreak havoc on these tenants. I don't think they've really thought it through. And now they're so far down this path they've set themselves on, they decide that they can't even turn back. So they put up a Hail Mary pass to try and take ownership of something which has never been theirs. Jesus then clearly illustrates that he's talking about these religious leaders, and he says, it'll be taken from you and given to others who will produce fruit. Because the accusation he's leveling is that they've gotten so caught up in the politics of it all, so caught up in ruling, power, and the world, that they've forgotten what they were charged to be stewards of in the first place. And we do this too. We have things that get in the way between us and God, between us and our calling. We know what it means to be caretakers of things, to put the ways of God ahead of the ways of the world in our lives, but we forget because we get greedy and distracted and envious and think to ourselves, why shouldn't it be ours? Why shouldn't it be mine? It's our church, right? But what if nothing is ours and we're merely caretakers of all things? Does that change for us anything about how we view the world and view our faith? Would it change how we look at our finances? Would it change how we understand what it means to serve others? Because to be a caretaker and not an owner means that we must both be cautious with what we've been given, but also be bold and courageous, knowing that trust has been vested in us to accomplish a task. Now, I know that taking a stuffed animal home for the weekend and being a disciple called to the ministry of all Christians are vastly different. But maybe there is also some similarity in there, too. What if we treated our stewardship in the same way a young elementary student treats the responsibility of taking the class stuffed animal home? Would we be more cautious? Less hands-off about our faith? Would we be less concerned with our wants and desires for things and look instead to the future and what could be, knowing that maybe we've been tasked to grow and take care of things for someone else down the line? What kind of legacy do we leave? Is it one that says, we cared for you and so we made sure you had a good foundation? Or do we say, we thought only of ourselves and this moment, here and now, and not the long game? Sounds like the tenant farmers, doesn't it? Do we leave a legacy of responsibility, growth, and stewardship? We've been given the tools. We've been given the teaching. We've been given the wisdom of the Holy Spirit and the chance to be something better. Christ has come and shown us a more perfect way, one that calls us to lay down ourselves and to follow the guidance of the Lord. But we can do it because he's shown us how and made sure we wouldn't have to do it alone. So take courage, take responsibility, and take yourself out of the equation, returning God instead to the forefront. Amen.
Living so. set free. Though with a scornful wonder the world sees us oppressed, by schisms rent asunder, by heresies distressed, yet saints their watch are keeping. Shall be the morn of song. Mid toil and tribulation and tumult of a war, we wait the consummation of peace forevermore. Till with the visions glorious, and the great church victorious shall be the church at rest.
Now, as we continue our time of reflection and offering giving, let us join in the responsive offertory reading. Giving is not a casual act. It relates God's work to our work. Peter writes, "As each has received a gift, employ it for one another, as good stewards of God's varied grace, that God may be glorified through Jesus Christ. Let us give as people whose work is inextricably linked to God's great works of creation, redemption, and empowerment." Join with me. Almighty God, giver of every good and perfect gift, teach us to give to you all that we have and all that we are, that we may praise you, not with our words only, but with our whole lives. Amen.
Praise God from whom all blessings flow. Praise Him, all creatures here below. Praise Him above me.
And as we prepare now to go and back out into the world, may you be a people who know that we have been called to a more perfect way, a way that is not about our own self-interest, but a way that is about the interest of the common good, that says God came for all of us, and all of us are in this together, working to make our world more like the kingdom. Working to build each other up, not tear each other down. Let us join in our benediction response.